Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I've entitled this morning's message, I Can See Clearly Now. Now, you're probably thinking of that old song. I can see clearly now, the rain has come. Yo, okay. All right, so that was an old song. But if you put on your spiritual glasses this morning, you should be able, if you've been walking at least 2-3 years with the Lord or longer, you should start seeing now the plan of God for your life clearly. The will of God is when we get saved. As soon as we get saved, then now it's the will of God, meaning our ongoing unction that he puts in a born-again believer to do the will of God. To do the will of God, meaning yes and amen, Lord. Whatever you have for me, I'm going to obey. I'm going to say yes, God. Okay? But then there's a plan of God. Like when I got saved 33 years ago, I didn't see his plan. If someone would have told me you're going to pastor a church, I would have said, what are you smoking? I go, pastor a church? Number one, I didn't even know the word of God. All I knew, I was saved and God filled me. I had so much joy. I was sharing with everyone that I came encounter with. I really did. And yet, I didn't know any scriptures. I just told the man, Jesus loves you and he wants to save you. I remember someone said, it's like someone gave me an AK-47. When I first got saved, I have 11 brothers and sisters. So when I first got saved, it was someone gave me like an AK-47 and I was going, brrr, and you know what I was saying? Repent or perish. I had no wisdom. Here I am, I just got saved, and they knew what I was all about. They knew the lifestyle I lived back then, and he's telling everyone they're all going to hell. Well, see, I didn't know God's plan. I just knew that he instilled in me now to obey his will. And then eventually, he unfolded his plan. And so, this morning, we're going to focus on areas of our life where God, I'm hoping he gives you ears to hear and eyes to see that there's a plan in place for your life. And let me just say this. How many believe that the plan that God has for you is good? It's awesome. It's mighty. And so how do you know that, man? I'm going through right now. I barely got $10 in my wallet. Well, that's okay. Because God's plan is still in place for you. And if you learn to trust him, that $10 will one day turn to 100 and 100 to 1,000 and God will start blessing your life. Can I get amen? Amen. Oh yes, he won't leave you in a poverty state. Not the God I serve. Because when you honor him, he will honor you. And so let's go to the word right now. Let's go to the word and we'll get this message going. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, and let's expound verses 11 through 14. Here we go. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Say that with me, to give you a future and a hope. Turn to your neighbor and let them know that God has a future and a hope for you. Look at this in verse 12. Then you will call upon me and go pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. So that's one of the keys, is to search God with all your heart. You know, there's nothing wrong with short, little, quick prayers. But a lot of times, we got to get before him, and we need to seek him with our whole heart. And look at this, verse 14. Then it says, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. You see, when you got saved, prior to that, we were in bondage. Can I get amen? How many remember your BC years before Christ? We were in bondage. We didn't know how to pray. We didn't know how to worship. Sunday mornings, I couldn't wait for football season to roll around. I'm going to get together with my homies, and we're going to, you know, maybe go buy a keg, you know, and watch all the games and just get lit up. Oh, yeah. But God had a better plan. His plan was much better. It blew me away when I started finding out what his plan was for my life. He says, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. Praise God. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. And so I grew up in National City, captive to the environment, thinking that all my friends were important. But one by one, when I got saved, they all started walking away. They just walked away. They basically forsook me. They didn't want nothing to do with this Jesus thing. But I'm here to let you know, it was the best plan ever for my life. And God's plan is the best for your life. Can I get amen? So let's look at this right up here. Number one, unbelievers scoff at the idea of God's plan for their life, and believers often ignore it. What? Yeah, sometimes we often ignore it. Sometimes God will bring a plan to you, and we ignore it. And we say, no, that's not for me. I remember I asked someone in our home fellowship one day, a young brother, I go, hey, can you teach for me this Friday? Yolanda and I are out of town. Oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. And he didn't know that God was raising him up for such a time as that. And I recall, I knew where he was, because when we were all one time, we were all on the first time in Israel. And Pastor Leo, my former pastor, he had a meeting with the mayor of Jerusalem, Ehud Olmert at the time. And he turned to me. He's got 12 pastors underneath him. We went to a church that had 3,000. But he turned to me. He said, hey, Fee, will you teach at the pools of Bethesda for me? My eyes were like a deer caught in the headlights. What? Yeah, you can do it. You have a home fellowship. You can do it. And it was that moment God spoke clearly to me that was my call. Down the road, God had a plan that I would teach others the word of God. And it was birthed right there in Israel. And so I know the plan. I know the plan. But those who do not understand, or those who are not spiritually enlightened, or those who basically cannot hear or see God, here is the issue right here. Let's go to Corinthians right here. Look at this. But the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. You see, someone that has no relationship with God, they cannot hear and they cannot see, and they don't know the will of God or the plan of God. Why? Because the Bible says, for they are foolishness to him. Back in the day, when we was getting toasted before a game, if someone would have said, hey, you're going to be teaching a Bible study next year, I would have said, what are you smoking? It was foolishness to me. And for unbelievers, It's foolishness to them. And sometimes it may be foolishness to a brand new baby Christian. And it says, look at verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I need you to know that we have the mind of Christ. Can I get an amen? And because we have the mind of Christ, praise God, God cannot fail us. God will be with us. God will strengthen us. God will see us through every predicament of life as a child of God. Nothing gets God unaware of what's going on in your life. In other words, you can't catch him off guard. The Bible says he neither sleeps nor slumbers. God is always awake 24/7. His eyes see the entire universe at one time. Did you know what you pray right now, the person in China that's praying, he hears their prayers at the same time. That's incredible who God is. We don't see God that big, but he's that big. Praise God. And so, saints, it's a reality that affects our lives, what, every day. Either we are living in the will and plan for God, or we're outside of it. We're outside of it. And let me just say this. God, I really believe, because we live in the end times, and I know a lot of churches don't teach that we're in the last days. We are in the last days. We see the signs. We see everything that's taking place. We see the decay and the immorality in our nation. I went to withdraw some funds out of my bank, and all I saw was the rainbow flags. It's like, my goodness, we're living in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We are. Never before has it been so blatant and so in your face. How many of you believe that we're in those days? Oh, yes, we're in those days. And usually, saints, when we think about the plan of God, his plan, our focus is trying to discover it. But a more important issue, saints of God, is whether we decide to obey his revealed will and plan or not. It's either yes and amen, Lord, use me, here I am, or you know what, I'm sorry, that's not for me, and you walk away. Well, guess what? He'll give it to someone else. And then all of a sudden you go, man, that should have been mine. Oh, well, wait till he comes back. Now you're going to have to wait your turn. He'll come back to you. You see, my friends, the road may be rocky at times. How many of you have had some rocky roads in your life? Oh, come on. For me, I did many face plants in 33 years of walking with him. And God had to take his supernatural spatula and scrape me off the ground. And then uphold me again. Washed, cleansed. He goes, okay, now keep going forward. Praise God. But see, saints, we should not let the obstacles, anything, stop us from living according to his plan, because his plan is so good. Look at this right up here. Let me go there right now. Obstacles to God's plan for your life. We need to see. Okay, so now we need to see, what are the obstacles that will try to interfere in the plan that God has for you? We can think of so many things, but here's one of the most critical ones right here is this: self-will. That's me, myself, and I. Oh, yes. We love to just avoid things sometimes that God has planned for us. That's right. The biggest stumbling block is determination to have our own way rather than following the path of God. It's our pride, our selfishness that keeps us from even asking God what he would have us to do. You ever wake up in the morning and say, oh God, what do you want me to do for you today? Here I am. I'm your servant, God. Here I am. Here I am. Or do we just wake up, make a cup of coffee, get ready to go, and we don't even acknowledge him. As born-again believers, he should be our all in all. Can I get amen? Let me just say that I'm just going to hit this, and then I'm going to leave it alone. Did you know, if you're a true child of God, there should never be disharmony in your marriage? Can I say that? In love? Because if you're both on the same page with God, guess what? The power of two will destroy the enemy. And I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say it right now because we live in the last days. The devil wants to wreck your home. And if he can wreck your home, guess what? Then he'll divide your home. And once he divides your home, he has the church. That's why we have to be in prayer. We have to be in the Word of God. We have to understand God's will and his way and his plan for my life. Because that's his ultimate goal. He knows Jesus is coming back. So I got to destroy their home. I got to drop an A-bomb there and walk away and laugh at it. That's what he does. That's what he does. Oh, but you don't understand. You don't understand. This is how she is. This is how he is. No, that's how the devil is. Defer it to him and rebuke it. And then come together in the unity of the faith. Can I get an amen? I know this is not an easy word, but let me tell you, it's what's going to help you. We got to get past ourselves. We got to get past self-will, because we could be stubborn folk. We could be like a mule. Can you learn to forgive? No. Oh, yeah, man, that's tough, huh? Well, guess what? I'm preaching to me, too. I'm preaching to me. I want that word to hit me first. Because it hit my mind first, and now, tag, you're it. Therefore, since we make up our minds and then come to the Lord, asking him to bless our chosen path, we have to ask him to bless our chosen path that he has already set aside for us. Saints, Paul was such a huge encourager, but he understood that God's plan was better than anything else that he ever acquired in his life. Paul the Apostle was Saul of Tarsus. Can I get amen? He was the attorney of the day. He was a Hebrew of the line of Benjamin. This guy had all the accolades. In other words, he was like a big giant attorney of the day. If you walked into his office, he had all these accolades. But guess what? He counted it all as rubbish when he got saved. Look what he wrote here. I need you to see this. In Philippians 3:12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Say that with me, saints. I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So when the Lord apprehended him and knocked him off his beast and blinded him and then gave him his sight back, then he saw that God's plan was much better than his. And he says this, brethren, verse 13, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Listen, saints of God, you have to have a mind to see this. You have to understand that what God has for you is greater than your circumstance right now. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen. No matter what you're going through, no matter whether you have $10 or $100,000 in the bank, it don't matter. Whether your relationships right now are kind of tattered and shattered, listen, God is greater than that. And you got to remember, there's a goal. There's a prize to reach. And that's eternity with him. Listen, we're but here for a moment. This is what I don't understand, is why we quarrel and we fight and we can't get along. Why? Our life is going to be gone as a vapor of steam. If we can't get it right now, what makes you think you're going to get it right in eternity? He wants hearts that are bent toward him, that we can learn to love one another unconditionally, that we can cover each other's shortcomings. The sin that you see in your brother, the sin that you see in your sister, guess what? The sins in your life are even greater. Can I get an amen? Amen. They're greater. And so, here's some of the traps. We're looking at obstacles, right? Obstacles for the plan that God has for us, right? Here's another one right here. Let's look at this. Influence of others. Influence of others. Some of you would rather get counsel from someone that doesn't even know God and say, yeah, that's what I needed to hear. You found someone that will side with you. Can I get an amen? I just want you on my team and I'll listen to you all day long. Just soothe me. Just soothe me. Oh, we're good for that, aren't we? But if someone has a different opinion and says, well, no, let's go what the word says. Oh, I don't want to hear that. That's not for me. That must be for you. You see, my friends, following other people's advice can be another obstacle in our walk with the Lord. Why? Some are quick to tell us exactly what we should do and how we should live, but their opinions may not agree with God's plan. The best option is to turn to the Lord. How many believe that? Rather than relying on fallible human beings. Fallible. Oh, that's right. Fallible. God had a problem with these kind of folks who you go get counsel with instead of going to the Word. Maybe coming to your pastor in confidence where your business is not going to be blotted out. But look what Job says right up here. And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Job was going through. He lost his fame. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. He was left with hardly anything but his wife. And his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? And she didn't mean it in a facetious way. She knew the word enough. She knew that if you curse God, he will destroy you. That's what he did in the Old Testament. So that was her only way of relief for him. Just curse God and he'll kill you and end your life because I can't do nothing for you no more. She wasn't making a mockery of Job, no. That was her only way of relief for him. And then here comes his homies. What's up, Job? You probably sinned. This is what you probably did. And the other ones would come with all kinds of fables. And God said, my wrath is aroused against you and your friends. I would rather know what God said in his word than someone's opinion. Can I get amen? Amen. If that's not their expertise in godly counsel, don't get it from your friend. Because you're only going to want to hear what you want to hear. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And then another obstacle is this. Ignorance of God's principles. You see, saints, we can't walk in God's plan for our lives if we don't know what he desires. You have to understand, what does God desire for me? Biblical principles help us understand how he wants us to live. And here are a few of them. And this is what we have to learn as children of the Most High God is, number one, wait on the Lord. How many of you need to learn to wait on the Lord? I had a little talk with my son. He lives in Arkansas. And there was a precious couple in their church, and he, you know, they're really good friends. He needed to get dropped off to the airport because he's always flying to state with the coffee bean company that he helped establish, and he's doing very well. But he didn't go before the Lord before he decided, you know what, I'm just going to let these people use my car and they could pick me up maybe in about a week. He should have checked to see if they had insurance. Well, they were driving from Missouri and she did one of these and went right into a tree and wiped out his whole car. I said, son, did you pray about it first? Maybe you should have Ubered it to the airport. Maybe you should have asked, hey, do you have insurance in case something happens? A valuable lesson. But see, sometimes, because we're humans, we didn't wait on the Lord. Look at those. Look at this. But those who wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be what? Weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, when you wait on God's perfect timing for your life, then he will open the door. And when you walk in, guess what? There's no resistance. There's no interference. Because God would have paved the way for that particular plan for your life. No obstacles. How many want God, would rather have God open up the door for you than you kicking the door down? Oh, that's right. And so this is what we need to learn. Trust God and leave all the consequences to him. Can I get an amen? Trust God. Listen. In this room alone right here, there are Bible teachers, future pastors, even worshipers in here that probably have gifts that just sing alone at home and yet have beautiful voices and are probably thinking, God can't use me. I don't sound good. And yet you probably sound like a flower. Trust God. Step out in faith. Say, you know what? I've been singing in the shower too long. Maybe God has given me a gift. And you step out in faith. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. And so we need to walk. How many believe that we need to walk by faith and not by sight? That's what the word of God says. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Walk in faith. Believe God for all things. Amen? Oh, yes. And watch what he does. Oh, that's right. Watch what he does. I think I shared this story. I'm going to share it maybe once again. I just feel I need to share this. When I was attending Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, Yolanda and I, we were so blessed there. I was raised up by a wonderful man of God. Pastor Leo Giovanetti was my senior pastor. And God did some phenomenal things. He was the one that taught us the plan of God for Israel. And they would go to Israel once a year. And in 2004, my real estate business just took off. It was like money was falling off the trees. And so, honey, I go, what are we going to do with all this? She goes, let's just bless people to go with us. So we just started writing $5,000, $6,000 checks and taking people to Israel with us. And they would be blown away. What? Really? I've been praying for years. Oh, you're coming now. So 3-4 years later, we wanted to go on this trip so bad because they were doing a side trip. They were going to Turkey to see all the churches of Revelation. And also, there was a place where the seat of Satan was. And it's still there. That geographical place is still there, according to the Word of God. But we wanted to go, but we didn't have the funds at that time. And we wanted to go so bad. We had a Friday night Bible study. And a couple showed up that never comes over. Mara and her husband. And he gave his life to Christ. So we baptized them that Friday night. So the following Sunday, they're there. There was three services, 7:45, 9:30, and 11:15. They were there at 7:45. Yolanda and I, we were in charge of all five services. We didn't go home on Sundays. This is where God trained me and Yolanda to do ministry. This is why we love ministry, because we were trained in it. And so we would do the altar call. We would raise up altar call workers and pray. And at 7:45, there was Mara. And she goes, come here. She goes, Pat is so blessed. Look at the joy on his face. I go, yeah, look at him, man. Praise God. And she gave me a hug. And then she stuck out her hand. And she shook my hand. And she left something in my hand. It was like a shake. And so I walked back to my seat, and I opened it up. I almost fell off my chair. It was a check for $8,000. Pastor Leo told me, he said, the bread has gone upstream for you. Because we were blessing so many to go, and now it was our time, and we wanted to go. We just didn't have, you know, the funds to go, and boom! There it was. And then on the way back home, we spent 4 days in Spain. On the way back home. There was enough for all that. I'm telling you, when you step out in faith, when you do the will of God and the plan of God he has put before you, he will do the miracles in your life like no other. He will blow you away. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Look. But here's the key. I want you to see this scripture right here. Look at this. It's right up here in 1 Timothy. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart and from a good conscience and from sincere faith. You see that? Walk with a pure heart. Walk with a clean conscience. Never think that there's something in it for me. When you learn to give away your life, that's when you're going to find it. Never think that you have something coming in return. No, don't ever look at it like that. Let God just blow your socks off. And so another principle is this. Allow God to supply all of our needs. How many of you can honestly say he's been supplying all of your needs? Huh? Has he?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Some of us have this right on our refrigerator door. And my God, say that with me. And my God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches in glory by what? Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Our wonderful worship team. God's going to continue to supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. You just keep on worshiping God. He'll take care of the rest. Can I get amen? He'll open up doors you couldn't even under. What? You open up that? Yeah, he opened up that door because you were faithful in the little. He's going to make you a steward over something bigger. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, we serve a mighty God, don't we? Come on. Come on. Give God a shout of praise. Also, my friends, we need to learn to take one step at a time. One step. The Lord will not show us the entire picture of our lives so we know exactly what will happen. No, he wants you to take one step with him. One step. Just take one step with him. And his light shines as far as the next step. Some of us want to leap a year ahead. No. Take that one step. This means, saints of God, we must trust him for whatever lies ahead that you and I cannot see with our natural eyes, because he has the better plan. How many believe he has the better plan?
I believe.
Look what it says in the word of God right up here. Incline, in Proverbs 22, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. So we're talking about right now obstacles that can try to thwart God's plan in your life. And here's one that we sometimes, it goes right over our head. This right up here. Willful known sin. If God already has said, don't listen to that no more, don't look at that no more, don't go to that place no more, I don't know what stumbles you, but I know what stumbles me. And when God says, don't go there, don't watch that, don't listen to that, I have to obey God. I'll tell you one thing that I covet. You should always want to covet. And the word covet means, I want it. It's mine. And I want it, and I want it, and I want it. So there's one thing that I covet, and that's his presence. The joy of the Lord. I want to always feel his presence. I want to know he's with me everywhere I go. Why? Because I'm like a little kid in his hand. I'm like a little baby that something, you know, a brand new nursing child, it knows when it's hungry, it'll start crying, huh? It'll cry for its mama. Or if you just put the baby down and walk away, not too far away, that child will know that you're not in the presence and it'll cry for you, right? Well, that's how my heart is toward God. I cry for him all the time. Because the Bible says that we must humble ourselves and become a child. Jesus said, hinder not the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And we need to be like a child. You know, you can tell the gospel to children. You can tell them about the word of God and the stories of God. And you have their attention, and they're just soaking it in. Why? And they believe everything you're telling them. Why? Because they're just a child. They're not up there saying, well, show me in the word. They receive everything by faith because they love God, and they'll trust you, especially if you're a parent or a Sunday school teacher. They're going to trust you. And they're going to soak it in. And that's how we need to be. But if there's willful sin in our life, guess what? He'll close his ear against us. I don't want that, do you? Not me. Look what the word of God says right up here. Look at this. In James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Did you catch that? Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. See, God already knows the motives of our hearts. He already knows us in and out. Can I get amen? And so we must learn. learn his will. And look at this. Let me just go on a little further with this. Look at this. Sin deafens our ears to the voice of God. So if you continue to battle in that sin, and God is saying, refrain from it, get away from that. And the more you keep wallowing in it, guess what? It deafens our ears. All of a sudden, I don't want to come to church because I know what he's going to say today. Oh, no. I don't want to read my word because I know what the word of God will say to me. What happens, our ears start to get deafened. This message this morning is to help us. Can I get amen? Amen. To strengthen us so we can understand the plan of God for our life. Look what Isaiah wrote right here. Look at this. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. See, it's not Pastor Fee saying this. God is saying it right up here on the word. He said, if you wallow in certain sins and you don't walk away from it, guess what? He doesn't hear you no more. And so these are things that come our way because the enemy will use these things in our life to keep us from the plan of God. And I don't want nothing hindering my plan. Can I get amen? Amen. I don't want nothing. If there's something that I'm doing wrong, God, show me, and I'll walk away from it. Why? Because I want to honor you. I know you're coming back soon. And when you come back soon, I want to be the ones that is looking faithfully for your return. But the church is asleep. The church is asleep. They won't tell you we're in the last days. Why? Well, we don't want to scare no one. We don't want to lose no one. Man. Shame on you. How many believe we're living in the last days? Oh, yes. Look at this. Sin blinds our eyes to the vision of God. We won't be able to perceive his will or understand what he has planned in our lives because it has been blocked. But here's the good news. How many love good news? Well, if you're a born-again child of God, Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Did you catch that? He knows who they are. Listen, we all come together in the unity of the faith, praise God, but he knows who are his. And shame on us that we try to judge someone. Oh, I don't know if you know him. And yet, that person could be a brand new born again, child of God, just crawling and feeding on milk and not understanding the meat of the word just yet. And then we like to judge them. Shame on. We can't judge no one. Can I get an amen? Don't judge nobody. Let God be the judge. If you're going to do anything, help them. Lift them up. Come on. Encourage them. You can make it. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them. Aren't you so blessed that he says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You know what that says to me? I'm secure in Christ. And the devil can't take me. The devil cannot take me. And guess what? The devil cannot take you. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. No one can snatch it out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Praise God. Praise God. Come on. That's a moment that you just want to give God a shout of praise. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We're looking at obstacles that will hinder the plan if we're not aware. See, if no one, it's like this. If you're driving in a country, say in a rural place, and it's night, and you got your high beams on, how many of you are hoping that you'll see signs down the road? Amen? to tell you, hey, what's around the corner? Is there deer running? You know, you want to see these signs. Can I get an amen? I know, I would love to see those signs. The one big sign is that road is closed and there's a ditch. Don't keep going straight. Can I get an amen? Well, that's what this message is all about. These are things that God will bring to our attention that we can avoid those things. Can I get an amen? Look at it like that. These are signs this morning. This is not condemnation. This is to help build us up so that we can have a closer walk with God and that we can understand the pure plan of God for our lives. Look at this right up here. Sin hardens our hearts to the awareness of God. We can't allow that to happen. Look at this. Okay, remember we talked about Job's friends? How many remember we talked about Job's friends earlier? Yeah. Right? Well, look at this scripture that I found because it goes right with it. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. You hanging out with those who just love to chug it down. Yeah, what up? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. They will stumble your walk with God. Oh, yes, they will. They'll entice you. Oh, come on. You remember how it was in the club? Let's go. Let's go. Let's go to the club. Oh, come on. It's harmless. And you know there's wolves in there. They only want one thing. You know what it is. I don't have to share it with you up here.
That's true.
Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. What you're learning, how to live for God, they will come alongside and try to tear what God is doing in your life and try to destroy it. And then they'll walk away. Once you're done, oh, man, they'll walk away. They'll do the purpose of the enemy. Look at this. Sin dulls our conscience to the word of God. It does. This is why you need to hear the word of God preached. Look at what it says. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need a I'm sorry, but everyone needs a preacher in their life. Can I get amen? Everybody needs a preacher in their life. I need a preacher in my life. Oh, that's right. And my wife's a really good preacher. She sees my blind spots. And guess what? She's allowed to speak into my life. I don't look at her like, what up? No. Yes, thank you, honey. Thank you for seeing the things I didn't see. Because that's how you build each other up. Can I get amen? It's easy to point down. Okay, here's another thing. We're as we come closer to the conclusion of this message, another stumbling block to our plan is this. It's called doubt. Doubt. Nah, I don't think God can do that. Really? I shared it with you guys last week. We're losing our home. I don't think God's going to do anything here no more. And then we took a step of faith, and Wells Fargo forgave over $200,000 of debt back in 2013. We had doubt. And God's saying, believe me, trust me, watch what I'll do. See, saints of God, when we doubt that God has a personal plan and will for our lives, we have to acknowledge those things. How many believe that we need to acknowledge that he has a perfect will and a perfect plan for your life? God doesn't want to destroy you. He wants to build you up. He wants to encourage you that you can make it. We live in a culture that is just so destructive. I don't know if you know this, but I got a news clip. every naval base in the Midwest, there's nuclear plants, there's Army bases, Air Force bases, and all around those bases, the Chinese are buying them up, the land. You know why? Because if they choose to invade, they know exactly where they're going to set up their camp, around our bases. And they're buying land left and right now as we speak. And the church is asleep. I'm telling you, saints of God, around the corner, I really believe there's going to be a tribulation that the world has never seen. And we need to get our hearts ready for God. We need to have our hearts ready, because I don't care how much money you got. I don't care what kind of shelter you have. The only thing that's going to secure you is your faith in God. Amen. It's your relationship with Jesus. And if you're right with God, guess what? He will shield you. He'll put his shield and buckler around you. Can I get an amen? Yes. The enemy won't touch you. But we have to be right before him. And we need to know what time it is. We need to know what time it is. Look at this. We doubt that the Lord will make his plan known to us. Some of us, well, I don't know. I don't know how many people I've prayed for over the years, and they come to the altar with their head hung low. Lift up your head, all ye gates. Lift up your head. God is doing something radical in your life right now. And he loves you, and he wants the best for you. Oh, that's right. Listen. Did you know the apostles had an issue? Did you know that they walked in fear and they doubted God? The apostles. They were close to you. They handled the Lord. They hugged him. How many of you would have wanted to hug Jesus? Some of them touched the hem of his garment and got healed. They pressed. Well, look at this. We doubt God because we don't have all the facts. So look at this story. This is a story that's in the Word for us. And it was written down by Matthew. Look at this right here. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So, this is a scene in the Sea of Galilee. And all the apostles were on the boat. And Jesus started walking on water toward them. What? How many of you would have probably freaked out? Some of them were saying, is that a ghost? What is that? Listen, they didn't have the technology of today. There's some things you could do you can alter your look. You can even make a little short movie on your phone and look like the whole land is blowing up and ships are blowing up and you're in the middle like, yeah, I just saved the day. But this was the real deal. Look at this. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And so he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go see Jesus. What? I've shared this with a lot of people that are not saved. And you know what they would say? Yeah, right. Why? Because they don't have faith to believe. But look what it says. But when he saw the wind was boisterous. And how many remember being at the Sea of Galilee? How many remember that? We were in Capernaum. Man, I'm telling you, we were in this outdoor museum called Capernaum, the town of Capernaum. And we saw from that distance, it was windy, it was rainy kind of like, and it was like an ocean storm. And this is a fresh a fresh water lake. That's what the Sea of Galilee. It's called a sea, but it's a lake. It's fresh water lake. I even swam in it before. And it was going like this. Whoom, whoom. And we're going, oh my gosh. Now I know. When they were on that boat, what they saw, what they felt. And so look, it says, and the wind was boisterous. So I'm doing a recall when we were there. It says, and he was afraid. He's walking on the water. He's walking toward Jesus. He left the boat. He's walking on water. It's almost like there was a wood planks underneath the water. But no, he was walking under the power, the unction, and the anointing of God. God is saying, walk with him, and he'll allow you to walk on water. Can I get amen? I'm talking about not physical water, but the things that are impossible in your life. Walk with him, and he'll do the impossible things in your life. Can I get amen? I don't care. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too hard for God. Oh, that's right. Some of you are going through some serious trials right now. Some storms in your life. He said, just keep walking toward me. Keep walking toward me. Hallelujah. How many believe that you need to keep walking toward Jesus? Some of you saw things that you didn't see even coming. And now a storm has raged in your life. But God said, keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. He's going to make all things beautiful in his time. Oh, that's right. All things beautiful in his time. How many can honestly say you're going through a storm right now in your life? Let's go back here and let's look at this. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out. You see, this is what happens. When you take your eyes off of Jesus, you will start wallowing in that storm. The storm will engulf you and overtake you, and you can't see anything but the storm. You won't even see Jesus. Jesus could be so close to you, and you'll miss him. You'll miss him. So look at this. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You see, God has the most awesome plan for you, but you cannot doubt what he has stored up for you. Yeah, it may be hard at first. It may be tough at first. You may be going through something at first, but keep following him. Keep walking after him. There's some people that will be in your lives and they will say something and not do it. Keep following Jesus. You know what? Let me just tell you this. Man will let you down. Man will let you down. Can I get an amen? If you're counting on man, forget about it. If he comes through, praise God. But God will not fail you. God's word is yes and amen. Why? Because he loves us. How many believe he loves you? Come on, you got to believe. You got to fall in love with Jesus. So saints, instead of looking at all the unknowns, we need to focus on what we know to be true. And that's God's word. God loves us each individually the same. Hallelujah. How many believe that there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God? He doesn't love you more than he loves me. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. He loves us all equally. And he wants to do the miraculous in our life. And how many of you experienced this before? All of us did. These are all stumbling blocks in the plan he has for us. Look at this. Feeling unworthiness. I'm not worthy. I saw this played out so many. I'm not worthy. It's like a fake pride. I'm not worthy. And yet in their mind, yeah, man, wait till they see what I got. But I'm not worthy. There's characters like that. But we find ourselves in this category. Feeling unworthy. And sometimes this is the reason we refuse to follow God's plan. Why? Because we should never underestimate what he can do through us. And remember we talked about these willful sins. We talked about these sin blocks. I call them sin blocks. Here's how you get rid of it. This is how you do away with it. Right here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what do you bring? What do you bring to him? The first thing that you should bring to him is your pride. Bring him your pride. And then now say, God, help me in this area. Oh, God, help me with this situation. Oh, God, help me with these finances. Oh, God, help me with these children. Oh, God, help me. Help me, help me. And guess what? He will help you.
Yes, he will.
Because he died for us. And although we may have to endure some of the consequences of our choices, the Lord never walks away from those who belong to him. Because he knows our shortcomings. He knows our insufficiencies. He knows that we have fallen short of the glory of God. He's just looking for people that will humble themselves and say, oh God, I can't do this without you. Thank you, God. Even his discipline is an act of love by which he brings us back into his will and his plan. Thank God. I like to say it like this. Thank God for the nalgada. Okay. Thank God for the Board of Education to the seat of your understanding. Hallelujah. That's what nalgada means. Thank God. How many so thankful? That God every now and then has to deal. He does, huh? Hey, we're coming in for one more obstacle. One more obstacle, then we're going to close. I promise we'll close. Come on, we don't have no healing rooms today. Okay, so this is one area that we have to really be mindful, understanding God's plan, is this, busyness. I'm just too busy. I don't got time for a prayer meeting. I ain't got time to come to a women's study. I don't have time to go to a men's study. Oh, come on. We get so busy.
Yes, we do.
We put 15 agendas and we try to fill that whole plate. And then we're like, to me, I have no more hair to pull out. We get busy.
Yes.
And we don't stop. We don't wait on the Lord. We go, God.
Yep.
See, if we don't have time for God's word, we don't have time for church, prayer. We cannot expect to know and learn how to obey and understand the plan of God's will for our life. We won't. Busyness is often used as an excuse for our sin. We just don't have time for God. We don't have time for him. I thank God for those who came on, I believe it was Wednesday, to watch the, I know some of you couldn't make it, but those who came to watch the saints get baptized. Some of you got to see the home studio. And I thank God, because when COVID hit, it was like, how do we reach everyone? How do we stay in touch? No, that was Wednesday. When did we baptize? Was it Thursday? Thursday, yeah. That's right. So next week, we'll be back on our regular schedule. Praise God. Praise God. Hey, real quickly, wasn't the worship awesome this morning? Come on. Come on. It was so awesome. Thank you, God. You see, my friends, living in this world sometimes doesn't help because it's opposed to the way God wants us to live. The culture is against God. So what you see on television now, it's against God. Come on, now we're watching commercials, Two Men in a Tub. And here's the perverted thing, that you see all these drug commercials. And what are the drugs for? A lot of them are for these people that are caught up in transgenderism. And it's trying to dull their mind because a lot of them are waking up. What did I do? And so now they're coming up with these drugs to numb them. It's like, what do they do? And that's why we don't hear about it, but a lot of them are committing suicide.
Yeah, that's true. Very
high suicide rate. So I'm going to close with this. When you have a made up mind to follow the plan of God in your life, and you allow God to use you, you allow God to work in your life, you allow God to be the silly putty in his hand, where you say, here I am, Lord, mold me and shape me after your image, God. Then we'll understand this last verse of scripture up here written by Paul to the Corinthian church. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God has revealed them to us through his Holy Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. Listen, when he was caught up into the third heaven, he saw things that were beyond his imagination. And just imagine to know that God has a place so incredible beyond this life. That is the reality in this world. Heaven is the real world. This is just a shadow of that world. We're here temporarily. We're just here for a moment. But in heaven, my goodness, many, 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 many. Have you guys seen the movie The Case for Heaven by Lee Strobel?
Yes.
They went around the world documenting, proving through the word of God that heaven is real. And they must have interviewed 25 near-death experiences, and they all came to the same conclusion that it was the most beautiful place they have ever seen, and they didn't want to come back here. That's what God's plan for our life here is, to prepare us for that place. How many can't wait to get to that place? The colors are multi-dimensional. The sounds come from beneath, from the sides. You think HD and 4K is nice. Uh-uh. This is not a real world. It's just a temporary world. And what he has prepared for us, my goodness, that's the joy that I have, knowing that one day this flesh will expire. It's not going to live forever. When I was in my 20s, we had a men's flag football league at Rob Field. And I had a big offensive line, and I was the little short quarterback, but man, we went undefeated 1 year down there. I had some big boys blocking for me. Oh, some of you probably know them. I had some of the Avis, the Salamuas, and I had the Five Eyes brothers. They were my offensive line. And no one got past them. Except Faith Chapel, this little quarterback always beat us. Because flag football, you couldn't tackle. Man, if it was tackle, it'd be over. It'd be over. But they beat us with finesse. This guy named Charlie, a little left-handed quarterback, killed us. And Rob Field, after we showed up in that league for the first time, they got rid of the kickoffs. You know how you used to kick off? Oh, we used to run down there and break arms. Because flag football is finesse. It's not really that. Oh, no, we went over there like we were still playing for Sweetwater. We were just grown men. But I remember back then, I felt like I was in my young 20s, king on top of the hill, that it's always going to be like something like this. And I had no clue that God had a better plan for my life, that He has a better plan for your life. And those things are now behind me. I press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. And you guys need to keep pressing. Be encouraged. We are living in the days of Lot and Noah now. And time is running short. And He's going to take those who are looking for Him, that are faithful in Him, that love Him, that continually confess our sins daily to Him. Lord, forgive me for this. Forgive me. Have a heart always that's repented before God. Don't walk around in pride. Walk around in thankfulness, of joy, of God, what He's doing in your life. Despite of who's not here with you, despite of those that you know in your life that are not saved and you want them to be saved, guess what? You pray for them. You just pray for them. Oh, Lord, have your perfect way, perfect will, God. And don't pray a lightning bolt to hit them on the head. You know, we could do, oh, get them, God. Get them, God. You know what? Do what the end of Job, what Job did. You know what he said? In the end of Job's story, we talked earlier about the three false friends. But at the end of the story, it's written down that he prayed for them. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who are unsaved. Pray that, oh God, bless them. Oh God, provide for their needs. Oh yeah, even those that spitefully used you. Even those who slandered your name. Even those who committed adulterous acts on you. All these people that were all at one time so corrupt in your life. Pray for them. Pray for them. And watch God do something radical in your life. It's not about them. It's about you. It's about where your heart is. It's about where's my heart? Oh God, I forgive them, God. Bless them. Help them, God. When you learn to pray for their need and when you learn to give them what they need, that's when God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. Can I get an amen? Because God will see now, oh, they're learning. It's not about them. It's not about them. They're learning. It's not about them. They're learning to give their life away. And that's when you'll find it. Praise God. Praise God. I leave you these questions this morning. Number one, let's go there. Are you presently living in the will and plan of God? Are you? Ask yourself this. And ask yourself every day, am I living in your will, God? Am I living in your plan, God? Look at number two. How do you know if you are or aren't? Well, you can always go back. Did you know if you go to our website, all my notes, see these notes that you see up here? You could download them all for yourself and have scripture references to go back. You could go back and relive the message. And if you want to praise and worship God, go back and play the worship music. Right. Can I get an amen? That's what I do. I don't even listen to other, I just play the worship that's here or on Wednesdays. And man, that's good enough for me. I get my praise on that day. Praise God. Why? Because God made it available for us. Look at number three. Does it seem like something is missing in your Christian life? If it is, guess what? Learn to include God in your life so that he can reveal his plan for you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. We are so mighty thankful. Did I have, oh yeah. Number four, look, could it be possibly be related to how much time you spend with the Lord in his word and prayer? So redefine your day. You know, here's the good news. Here's the good news. In a real estate transaction, if there's something that needs to be implemented, something that was in there in the original contract, we do what's called an amendment. So you amend the contract. Well, guess what? Amend those things with God.
That's right.
When you amend the, oh God, you know what? I want to factor you now in this day with me. So amend that relationship with him. Say, God, I want to factor this now in my life. And God will do something radical in your life. I'm telling you, I know that I'm not wasting my breath up here. I know God is saying, if you do these things, watch what he will do. Believe God what he will do. And fifthly, what if anything is keeping you from obeying what God wants you to do? So if there's an obstacle in your life, get it out. If there's something that's preventing you from drawing close, get it out. And say, you know what? I'm not going to allow this to be my stumbling block. I'm going to press. And all the key things that we read today, don't be so busy that you don't have time for God.
That's right.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
And bring those things that stumble you and give them to him.
Amen.
And he will replace it with beautiful things. Can I get amen? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Facebook, YouTube, you may be watching right now. And maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that God has spoken clearly with me, is that we would always give an invitation to receive Jesus after every service, whether it's a Wednesday or a Sunday. Because God told me, you never know who I've prepared their hearts to listen. They could be in another state. They could be even in another country. My brother's family that lives in Brazil, they're logged in right now from Brazil. His precious mother watches him. His family in Brazil watches our services. We say praise the Lord in Brazil. What a beautiful thing that God has allowed ministries to reach around the world. But if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that God will do the miraculous in your life. Just bow your heart and your head with me and trust and have faith in God what he would do. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Oh, come on. He's worthy. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.